Hello people, welcome back. We are continuing with the DevOps and implementing continuous integration with continuous deployment. Now the chapter that we are going to discuss is regarding containers and infrastructure as a code. As a first thing, let's do a short recap. So few DevOps practices you are seeing in this track. This module particularly will lean toward infrastructure as a code and containers. In the previous, we talked a little bit more about continuous integration. Now we are going to go into infrastructure as a code.
Yes, and in the next module, we will also talk about infrastructure as a code. But while we are building here a solution using containers, in the next module, we will use infrastructure as a code to build a hosting environment for our containers.
Or maybe to be more exact, it will be more infrastructure as a code for platform configuration.
Yeah, exactly.
Our favorite thing or the dream comes true for the developer and ops guys, containers. So what is actually a container?
Well, as you can see on our slides, it's a mix of application code and infrastructure code, which you put together and in a single deployable unit. When you have that deployable unit, you can actually deploy it anywhere to dev, to production, staging, and of course to test, Q&A, and that is what about our project currently is. What's the important thing to say is that you get the thing that your solution behaves exactly the same in all these environments, which is a kind of developer's and ops dream.
Yes, and this is the place where I like to joke with you. It's finally, if you are in the world of containers, you can come to me as a dev and you can tell me it runs on my machine, so it must run in the production.
So there will be no our midnight calls.
Oh, I'm so used to our midnight calls regarding burning hardware and stuff like that.
Yes, now you can just switch back to the previous version of containers.
Oh, cool. So why do we use containers? First of all, since we are talking about the DevOps and we want to go into more agile and more value realization world, we needed a technology along also with some practices and methodologies to deliver it. And guess what? Containers is one of the technology that leverages that. So from an ops perspective, you will see, of course, in this model and the future model, is actually how we are using the code to describe the environment needed for our developer.
Yes, that's really a developer dream. Before joining Microsoft, I used a lot to develop mobile apps. And what was cool about that development is that I had a virtual machine on Hyper-V, that is a Windows Phone, virtual machine, and that from Visual Studio, when I develop, I directly deploy and run app on that machine. So I'm sure that when I run the app and test it, that it would behave actually the same on every single mobile phone in the world. So I hope that I will, with containers, I will have that experience as well with web apps, with any other kind of apps. And at the same time, containers favor these microservices distributed architectures. And these architectures are so powerful because they bring resilience and agility to the platform.
And of course, scalability. So definitely microservices, if you are considering it and you want to drive into this direction, containers might be the way or one of the ways that you can develop your solution.
Yes, it's simple to that. It's similar to that PaaS model, which is present with Azure a long time, but it's much more agile. You can much faster run up all these containers and scale up and down as well.
Let's compare now what is the difference between a VM and a container. So traditionally, of course, for many years, we are now using virtual machine and we used to build them in a clustered mode, highly available mode. But in a nutshell, it always comes that you need to have a hypervisor. On top of hypervisor, you need to have a guest operating system, some libraries or some application bits on top, and you need to instance it. Of course, we had some help regarding reducing the footprint, for example, on a hardware level, some of the duplication methods and stuff like that. But again, from an architecture point of view, it's still one isolated instance of a virtual machine that has a guest OS, bins, libraries, and application on top.
And Alex, containers are kind of virtualization also.
Yes, it is. It's a type of virtualization. It looks like more like sandboxing. So you are actually virtualizing the namespaces and devices that are on the host or the virtual host and sharing among the instance that application that we called containers. They are encapsulated inside of it.
So what is the consequence of that sharing kernel in container virtualization?
Well, the biggest consequence is literally this one. If you have a Linux or you want to run a Linux container, it needs to be on a Linux host server. Or if you want to run a Windows container, it must be on the Windows host. That's the starter.
Yes, we see also on this slide, and it proves that it's quite true in practice that the good sides of this container virtualization is significantly faster start time, easy deployment, easy moving of containers between machines. But I could think just about one of the rare constraints really is that you need a dedicated operating system that is compatible with operating system in the container.
Exactly. Now let's jump and drill down a little bit more in detail and zoom in to containers just to see and abstract these differences. So when we talk about a container and its runtime, there is literally two choices how you can run it today. So if we go in a host operating system, what we have actually, we can have multiple containers sharing the same kernel. They are isolated on, let's say, kernel and above level. Let's say that we could describe it the easiest way is they are sandboxed and they're operating on the same physical host sharing the kernel. Or what we can usually see on the cloud, public cloud solutions, we have a virtual machine, and on top of the virtual machine in the guest operating system, they're sharing the kernel. The same analogy and same connectivity like in a physical host, but we are now having the virtual machine. If you ask me, for example, Sergeant, is there any different for you as a developer? None. You don't care about this. You develop your container and you hand over the container. It will run regardless. Is it a physical or a virtual host? The only thing what we need to remember is the underlying OS needs to match the container OS.
Yes, the containers are not dependent on what kind of hosting environment they run in.
Exactly. So let's now jump to our solution. If we recall that we worked and we are actually talking about the proof of concept that we did with our customer, can you now explain, because now we have a really good graphics about why and what we did. Let's focus now about the why. Why did we suggest this to our client?
Well, first we needed a Q&A environment that we could easily take resources from, and Microsoft Azure is environment with infinite resources, so it was for a proof of concept, it was a appropriate choice, and I think that maybe it will be, I hope that it will be primary choice for many tests, Q&A, and of course production environments in the future. But I hope that our partners will take that MSDN Azure offer and use it a lot also for test, Q&A, and development. So in Microsoft Azure, we will have a Linux server that will host our containers. But let's focus now on the solution. Our solution, as we mentioned, is a web app that uses MySQL as a database. This solution you can see on the slide resembles that. We will have two containers. First is a MySQL container that will, of course, handle database, and linked to it, a container with a web app. The other thing you can see on this picture is that these containers are kind of layered, kind of there are few images in them. And that's exactly what the thing is. When you build container, you build it in layers. One image is derived from the other one, and part that is the same is a kind of shared, and that we get optimization from. So, for example, if you have MySQL container, it is built on Debian image. And in case of container, that we'll have to build, that it's a, our app is on top of container that has Mono and Nginx frameworks built in. And this container, this image is based on Debian image. So you can see these layers. And another thing I would like to point out is that this MySQL container is not a thing that we will have to build ourselves. The repositories of pre-built containers with operating systems, frameworks of them, is something you can find in repositories. And in our sample, we use Docker Hub as public repository, and we will take, as a both developers, as in a Q&A environment, we will take MySQL container as an image from that repository. Also, in order to use in QA environment, after we build our container with MVC4 app, we will also put it in the repository, so that when Azure Automation builds our solution, it will pick also our container from the repository.
I think we heard a lot of interesting stuff. It will be fair to see it in action. Can you just, before we jump to the demo and before we go and drill down, explain a little what we're going to see, because there are a lot of components that might be new to our audience. So what we are going to do in the demo?
Okay. First thing we will see a GitHub, because our infrastructure code is hosted there. And then we will see how we can, on our own developer machine, build containers from that code in order to test solution on our development machine. We will need to recreate the whole environment, so we will pull down container from the Docker Hub with MySQL database and run it along with the container that contains our solution. Of course, running containers manually is not a good and feasible option. So it would be, it's much easier to run the whole solution, and that's where one tool that's called Docker Compose will jump into place, and we will describe that composition to Docker Compose and then run it.
Yes, and then after we will we'll jump and go to automated container build, because it's the final piece for this module.
So we are now here on GitHub. This is the repo where our all infrastructure code is being placed. And we already opened this repo in Visual Studio Code. So Visual Studio Code is Visual Studio's code that is cross-platform. And as you can see, this install runs on OS X. So file that is currently opened is the Docker file. Docker file contains the definition of our Docker container.
Sujan, may I ask you something? Does it need to be called a Docker file, or you can call it anyway?
Well, it's by convention. So you call it Docker file, and when you run a Docker build command, it knows where to look for the Docker container definition. Each Docker file starts with from instruction. As we said, Docker containers are layered images. So there are multiple layers, and from instructions tells Docker build from which container, from which other image to start. So in this case, we are starting from image that is built based on Debian image and that has Mono and Nginx web server on top of them. Run and add instructions that you can see here alter that image. But what is important to know, they alter them at build time. What happens under the hood? Docker engine starts container, applies instruction, and then commits, like create snapshot of the container into the new image. So each time when we run ran command or add command, a new image is created and committed into local Docker repository.
Maybe we can make analogy in a VM world how it's like. It would be like you take a vanilla VM, then you take a one snapshot. On top of vanilla, you install one application, for example, you take another snapshot. Then you add a second application, take another snapshot. And that could be potentially an analogy how you are doing line by line when you do run or add, how you're actually changing the container.
Well, you're exactly right, Alex. That's the exact thing that happens. So, for example, here, we first do apt-get update to update our base image, and then apt-get install to install unzip utility. We will need this utility to unzip our application and place it at appropriate place where Nginx web server will serve the app.
Before you go to the deployment of the app, can you just explain why did you wrote run in such a manner that you are combining two commands to be run in one step?
Well, it's a kind of best practice to merge run commands. Of course, I could, in this place, I could easily put two run commands, but in this way is more efficient because in that way I create less intermediate images, I could say.
Or layer, what
is yes, it? Yes. I have much less layers that way.
Okay, and now we're getting to the part that you need to go and fetch yourself with a geekquiz.zip. May you just remind us how we got it on the storage blob of Windows Azure?
Yes, this zip file is the result of build process that we described in detail in previous module. So in this point, I download that zip file to temp directory, and then in next run command, I just unzip it and place in appropriate place for Nginx web server, and that is this var allocation. In order for this image to run appropriately, another script needs to be run. Needs to be run at the runtime. So here is where I add this script to appropriate place. And after that, I execute this CMD instruction. And CMD instruction differs from run instructions because it also runs code, but CMD instruction will be run when the container first start. So on first container start, I need to do some actions, and that action will be, for example, to start the Nginx server on appropriate location.
Okay, this sounds very interesting. Can you show us now how actually we can build container? Can you walk us through a process?
Yes, of course. We have a Docker utilities installed here, so we use it to manage containers. And the syntax of Docker commands is that, like, you first say Docker, and then you put instruction for a Docker engine. In this case, it would be build. And then we will put the name of container. So for example, we can call it geek quiz. And in, after that, we put the location where Docker file is. So we could place just like dot, and that dot means current folder. After that, you can see that for each line, some of the steps were running. And now you can see how Docker Engine pulls images. These images are being pulled from the Docker Hub repository.
So when it's done, we will actually have the running container on top of your own machine that we are looking now, so on top of your Mac machine.
Yes, so what currently happens with these all images are being downloaded and placed in local repository. And when we build image, what we are doing just now, the image will be in current repository and we can run it.
Okay, looks like we are near the end. So what has actually happened? We downloaded from a Docker Hub needed components, and now actually we are extracting it, right?
Yes, these are the image layers of this previous image, and now it executes extraction by instruction.
And instruction are based actually from a Docker file.
Yeah, for example, this part just executes that apt-get update to update machine, and currently we are in the phase where we are downloading that zip image, etc. So you can see everything that is in instructions happens during the build time.
Is it fair maybe to say that actually Dockerfile will be like you're in interactive mode with a base image and you're typing this command manually?
Yes, I think that this is really the best description. So if we do disk images, we can now see these kick with build image, and we also see that in our repository the image from which we build our GeekWiz image is being built.
Question. So since now you have this base image or start image, it means that it's like cached locally. So if you run the build again, you will actually have the much faster build because it will not download.
Yes, we can do that build, for example, just to see what happens. And now it's only, as you see, downloads our GeekWiz zip file, and it's okay because on each build we need another version of GeekWiz file. So see, you can see now it uses the cache for other steps, and everything happens very, very fast. Okay, so we build our web app container, and what we need now is MySQL container, so we can get it but by using docker pull command in order to pull MySQL image.
So again, what is actually happening? Your machine is jumping to Docker Hub and trying to find the latest MySQL starting image.
Yes, actually what happens is that first it tries to find the image in the local repository, and after that it pulls it from the Docker Hub.
Okay, so it will run for a few moments until it downloads the complete image.
So let's see our image list now, and it contains MySQL image. Now where we have all images, we can start running our containers. So first we will need to run MySQL because web app depends on it. So we will do with docker run command. And in order to create link to this container, we will have to name it. So we will name it DB. And after that, we will put some environment variables needed for our container to run appropriately. So after that, we can run our container, and we will run it in detached mode because we need our shell. And after that, we need to name the image from which we would like to run the container. So the name of image is MySQL. And what you can see that the container ran almost instantly. So with docker ps command, we can see that our container is running, from which image it's running, and ports that are active on this container. So Next thing we should do is to run our web app. So we also use Docker run. And we need to define link to MySQL container.
Okay, question for you. Why do you make link between these two containers? What's the point?
Well, the point is to access a database that is in Docker, that is in MySQL container, DB container as I name it. So I say here DB. And what happens under the hood when I do this link, in host file of container that I will currently run with web app name, the IP address on internal switch on Docker host machine will have that DB entry. So with DB, I could just create connection string from web app to the MySQL database.
Okay, so in a nutshell, when we speak about this, you literally don't need to open ports, what we see before, because when linking it, you are just exposing it between two containers, but ports, TCP/IP ports, you use in the previous step to show us that actually it could be connected even from your machine or some other container.
Yes. What you can see here with that ports is that this port is opened on the container. But what we will need to do here for this web app, we will have to also map port on container with port on the machine that currently runs Docker host. So I will map these ports and I will specify that it's port 80. So I map port 80 on a machine where Docker engine and Docker runtime runs with a port on the container. And I will also use dswitch to switch it in detached mode. And after that, I will just name the image that I'm running container from. So it's geekquiz, as I named the image up there. And as you can see, now we have both MySQL and SQL images running, and geekquiz image running. And what could you see here? This port mapping I told you about. So we have mapped port 80 on Docker host with port 80 on the container. And it's very important in order to access container externally.
May I ask you, how can we check is everything working right now on your machine?
We can, for example, try to access it from the web browser. And I think one thing that I would like to mention here that is not obvious, that actually the Docker runtime does not run on this desktop computer, which is OS X. Because as we talked before, Docker is kind of technology where containers has to be with the same operating system as the host machine. So as you can see, all these containers are Linux and we are running on OS X. So what happens here under the hood is that in VirtualBox, we have a running virtual machine that is Linux-based virtual machine that actually runs. So all these components that we are running using Docker client are proxied to this Linux virtual machine that runs in VirtualBox.
Okay, since this is a virtual instance of a machine, I suppose it has its own IP address and it's giving the IP address to containers. How do you know which IP address has the container?
Well, I can go to that virtual machine actually and type ifconfig command with more in order to not miss it. And we can see here a few interesting things. For example, we can see this Docker 0, and that is that virtual interface through which containers communicate with host and among themselves. And the other thing you can see here, you can see IP addresses of adapters on that machine. So actually what we would need is this IP address.
Okay, let's go jump now because we know IP address. Let's check actually does this work.
Yes, so we can go to our browser and enter appropriate IP address. And as you can see, here is our GeekWiz instance running. So we can, for example, try and register a new user because this environment is built from bottom up. And it works. Okay, and now we will stop these containers. So we'll use Docker stop command in order to do that. And after Docker stop command, we can stop multiple containers at once. And we will just enter a few characters of container ID that identifies them in uniquely on this machine. And we will get a positive response. So if we go to the browser window again and refresh, you can see that there is no server access.
Okay, well, we saw how you are executing command manually and running container. I believe that there are more sophisticated way to do this.
Yes, definitely, because often the real world use case is you do not want to run containers separately, except when you're developing the solution, but you want to run the complete solution. So let's get back to Visual Studio Code. And what you can see here is this Docker composed YAML file that actually contains all the instructions that need to that we need in order to run the containers. And when you go through this file, you can see that parameters you enter are similar to the parameters you typed in manually while running Docker run commands. For example, this is where MySQL container is described. You can see its name, DB, and then the settings. For example, environment variables. And then image from which you instantiate the container. And then one thing that we didn't talk before, volumes. So this is the option to map some folder, some directory on a Docker host machine with a directory in container. So, for example, this is where MySQL database is stored, and usually in order to have multiple containers over the same data and to make data separate data lifespan from the container lifespan, you could do this. Then we're going to the web app, and our image in this case is not called web, it's called GeekWiz. So we can we change that name, and you have also links here, and we put here link to the MySQL container, ports, mapping ports between container and Docker host, and restart always that says okay when the container, when the host machine restarts, restart the container also. So now we will see how easily we can run this composition. We will go to the terminal again and run another tool that is called Docker Compose with the app command. And great, it seems that it ran containers. So as you can see, we also has this option to run in detached mode, but I ran it in interactive mode in order to, for you to see what happened. So as you can see, it started all of these containers, gave them appropriate names, and you see what happened inside the container. So we can go now to browser again, and because the IP address of the Docker host remained the same, we will see that now app is running.
Okay, cool. This was very cool. As I said, this was a very cool demo. We see an end-to-end process on a single machine, how to create a container, how to write infrastructure as a code for docking container, how to run it, how to compose it. The only thing that's left us to show to you guys is automated container build on a Docker Hub. But prior we go there, let's just do a quick flashback what we are doing and what was our aim. So, Srdjan, can you walk us through our DevOps blend that we chose for our solution and what we did so far?
Okay, first what we did is developed our web app using Visual Studio, and we used Visual Studio Online as a Git repository in order to commit our code. After that, we used Visual Studio Online as a build server in order to build and after that package our app. In order for app to be complete, of course, we need, beside the app, we need its infrastructure. And we used Visual Studio Code on Mac to describe that infrastructure in a way of a Docker file that describes our container that will host our web app. That infrastructure code is stored at GitHub repository. So next step we need to do is to build that infrastructure into container images. So in the following modules, these container images could be deployed to Q&A environment.
Yes. Question before we jump to this automated, why did we use GitHub? Can we just again emphasize why at this moment we use GitHub for a source control for our infrastructure as a code?
Yes, well, that's because we are using a Docker Hub as a service, as a build service for our containers. And currently GitHub and Bitbucket are the only services code repositories that can work seamlessly with Docker Hub. Okay, so let's go to demo.
Yes, so the final piece, automated container build.
Using Docker Hub. Now we are logged in our Docker Hub account, and we can see here three of our current repositories. The third one is the repository that we built for this demo, for this training. And you can see the Docker file and everything set up properly. The other thing you can also see that it's set to automated build. So that means on every commit, the build happens. And this is all integrated in our overall build system. But let's start to scratch and show you how you can create this on your own. First, in order to do automated build, you need to be linked to the source control. And that means that your account has to be linked to some source control. And you can set that here. In your profile menu, you click settings, and then linked accounts and services. Here we can see that I'm already linked to GitHub, and I can also create a link to a Bitbucket. Now, when all of these is set up, you can create a new repository using automated build. And you just click in this menu item to do that. So, Docker Hub already recognized my accounts. So, what I will do, I will, among all of my GitHub repositories, I will pick the one that contains Docker file. And that's Docker Geek Quiz. So, because I already have Docker Geek Quiz repository set, I will call this demo, and I can type something into description, and I will just copy paste this in sake of simplicity. And this is also important, and this check mark says that on every commit in GitHub that triggers automated build. And that's all you need to do in order to configure this. So when you are at this point in time, you have all things set up appropriately. Docker file, you should note, is currently empty, and it will be filled up when the Docker file is pulled from the repository, and that will happen on first build. You can, of course, trigger build manually. So we will do this, and immediately in build details, you will see this build pending. In build settings, which is also very important many for this, you can see all these settings. And the another thing you need to do here in order to enable that continuous integration is to enable build triggers. Because as you remember from the previous modules, what we need to do is in last step of Visual Studio Online build, we would like to trigger Docker Hub build. And all we need to do is to activate that option.
Okay, so actually when we were creating the build on a Visual Studio server, this is from where you provided me the token for triggering.
Yes, so this is of course newly created Docker repository, so we can go to the dashboard and go to the repository we continue for we configured for our demo. And when we go there for build settings, now we can see that trigger token, and we can easily see that's the same trigger token that we used to configure this last step of our Visual Studio Online build.
Okay, so I think that we saw everything that is needed for us to do Docker builds on an automated manner. But what we want to provision it on our platform. What am I missing right now?
Well, everything, you don't miss actually anything. What we will show in our next module is how to link Docker Hub with Azure Automation. And you could also do this with webhooks. So you can see this webhook tab, and you have this Docker deploy webhook that is linked with our automation workflow. And in our next modules, you will see how you can enable webhooks on automation and how you can put it here.
Cool. So let's go and do the recap of the model, close it up, and continue further to see what we are going to show about the ARM and automation. Okay, we've seen all the needed steps for container creation either on a local machine or to automate it and to use a Docker Hub for a container build automation. Prior we go to end this model, it's also, I think, important to remind us all that a new Windows Server is bringing two types of container on Windows Server. So we have a Windows Server container and Hyper-V containers. There are good session on AMVA, go check it out. But again, we need to remind you that depending which type of containers you are going to run, the underlying OS needs to be the same kernel type in order to run. So if you're running Linux, it needs to be on the Linux host. If you're running Windows, it needs to be on the Windows host. But also you need to make a choice what is the right tool for you. There are many tools. You saw our combination and blend for this session. So we are using from Visual Studio online, then Visual Studio Code for editing code, and then we are building on top of the Docker Hub, and then we are end up on the Azure. We will leave you to make your own choices. And in order to you make the right choices, you need to know about the tools and the processes and procedures. So in order you to extend your knowledge, let us share some good MVA links for you and Kickstarter points. So if you're interested in the Windows container and what's new there, go and check out Windows containers on module 6 in What's New in Windows Server 2016 preview. And if you want to know a little bit more how to run the Docker containers on the Microsoft Azure, there is also a good track recorded from this year Microsoft Ignite event. And that's all for the module 3. Now we're going to take the short break, and after the break we are going to talk about ARM and automation on Azure side. Thank you, guys.